The Senate Committee on Budget and Fiscal Review will come to order. Good morning. In response to COVID-19 emergency and to protect the public, legislators, and employees, we must limit non-essential gatherings and adhere to social distancing and face covering guidelines. In compliance with those orders, the Senate has made necessary adjustments to normal practices in order to ensure that the public continues to have access to the legislative process. We are holding our committee hearing here in the Capitol with some of our committee members participating remotely. Today, we have two members of the Budget and Fiscal Review Committee participating remotely, Senator Stern and Senator Morrell. Senators, if you have support staff with you, can you please identify them now?
Yes, I have Jeremy Wolf with me here in the district office.
Thank you. Senator Morrell?
Raquel is here with me.
Does she have to see? Do we have to see Raquel? No? Okay. Raquel's last name, please, Senator?
Torres.
Thank you very much. I would remind our two colleagues who are... Thank you, Senator Morrell. I'd remind our two colleagues who are participating remotely that when it comes time to vote and during roll call, if you would please state your name first, then the action. Senator Stern, present, and Senator Morrell, aye. Just to make sure that our records are accurate, sir, again, please state your name and then the actions. We also have representatives from the Department of Finance and the Legislative Analyst Office who are participating remotely. For our remote participants, please mute your phones or computers. This will greatly aid in eliminating any acoustic feedback. I ask that every time you wish to be recognized that you use the, quote, raise your hand feature in the program. Each time you're recognized to speak, a pop-up window will appear asking if you would like to unmute. Please select unmute before you begin speaking. Our IT personnel here will put you back on mute when you're done. Once recognized to speak, please make sure you can be seen on the screen. And again, state your name and then you're ready to address the committee. To allow the public access, we have admitted members of the public to two hearing rooms to the extent that social distancing requirements allow, and we'll be using a teleconference service for those individuals who wish to testify today. For all individuals wishing to provide public comment, the participant toll-free and access is posted on our committee website, and it will be displayed on the screen. Let me also announce it now. Today's participant call-in number is 1-844-291-6364, and the access code is 9355175. For detailed instructions on how the teleconference system works, please refer to the Senate and/or committee website. Please note that in order for us to hear you clearly and to avoid acoustic feedback, you must mute the device you are watching the hearing on prior to giving testimony over the phone. It's important that we hear from you, and we thank you for your participation. I will maintain decorum during the hearing, as is customary, and any individual who is disruptive may be removed from the remote meeting service or have their connections muted. While every effort has been made to streamline the hearing process and conduct our hearings in as close to the same manner as is customary, there may be some lag times for participants who are adjusting to the new use of online tools or technologies. Please be respectful and patient. Colleagues, we have one bill on the agenda for today, AB 106, related to state bargaining units. Before we hear a presentation on the bill, let's establish a quorum. Mr. Stepanshaw, would you call the roll, please?
Senators Mitchell.
Mitchell present.
Mitchell present. Nielsen.
Here.
Nielsen here. Bell.
Here.
Bill here. Caballero?
Here.
Caballero here. Dolly?
Here.
Dolly here. DeRazzo?
Here.
DeRazzo here. Hurtado?
Present.
Hurtado present. Leyva?
Here.
Leyva here. McGuire?
Here.
McGuire here. Melendez?
Here.
Melendez here. Monning?
Here.
Monning here. Morlock?
Present.
Morlock present. Morrell?
Morrell here.
Morrell here. Pan?
Here.
Pan here. Roth?
Here.
Roth here. Skinner? Stern?
Stern here.
Stern here. Wieckowski?
Here.
Wieckowski here.
Thank you very much. The consultant notices the presence of a quorum, so we'll commence the hearing with AB 106. From the Department of Finance today, we'll receive testimony from Mary Halterman. Good morning, Ms. Halterman. Thank you for being with us.
Morning. Thank you for having me this morning. Mary Halterman, Department of Finance. The AB 106 ratifies the side letter agreements entered into by the state and International Union of Operating Engineers for State Bargaining Units 12, the Craft and Maintenance Workers, and 13, the Operating Engineers. So although the state ratified the Bargaining Unit 12 successor MOU prior to July 1st, IUOE did not have the agreement ratified by July 1. As such, the side letter with State Bargaining Unit 12 is related to the state's implementation of the 2020 furlough policy and the impacts of this policy for July 2020. So each full-time employee in a Bargaining Unit 12 classification during the July 2020 pay period will be credited 8 hours of personal leave program hours to mitigate the impact of the employees being subject to a 9.23% furlough payroll deduction while continuing to pre-fund their other post-employment benefits. And the side letter with State Bargaining Unit 13 for the term of July 1st, 2020 to June 30th, 2022 represents employee compensation savings of $10 million, $6.9 million general fund in 2020-2021. And it includes a 9.23% payroll deduction, 16 hours credited monthly for the personal leave program beginning in August 2020, and suspension of the employee's monthly contribution for pre-funding OPEB beginning with the August 2020 pay period. So in total, all of the agreements, including the ones that were previously approved, result in employee compensation savings of $2.74 billion, which is $1.93 billion general fund in 2020-2021. This bill also makes the conforming statutory changes for the various agreements that were entered into by June 30th by the state and the various employee organizations representing state bargaining units 2, 5, 7, 8, 9, 10, 12, 16, 18, and 19 that were ratified pursuant to AB 119. The Joint Legislative Budget Committee were notified of all of these agreements on July 8th. And lastly, this bill appropriates $5.9 million, $3.1 million general fund for excluded employees related to state bargaining units 2, 7, 8, 12, 13, and 16. With that, I'm available to take any questions.
Thank you very much. I appreciate that, Ms. Halterman. Questions from members of the committee? Senator Morlock.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I just want to, I don't know if I want to ask questions or just make some observations, and maybe Ms. Haldeman could confirm whether I'm understanding the provisions of these contracts. But currently the state pays into the retiree medical plan, but it's done through 4% withholding from each employee. Since we're stating that we're reducing the salaries by 9.23%, but we're also not requiring the withholding of 4%, we're actually maybe just having a net reduction of 5.23%. And it appears that even though they're taking a reduction in hours, those hours are being set aside in a deferred program like a sick leave or vacation, unused time. So I'm wondering about two things. One, if we're not paying in the 4%, that means that the unfunded liability for the retiree medical plan is increasing by a substantial number. I don't know what we're supposed to have as an assumed rate of return for the retiree medical plan, but if it's the same as CalPERS, that would be 7%. So that's 10 times the rate that the government, the federal government's borrowing at for 10-year treasuries at 0.6. So that's pretty expensive debt, and we're actually not reducing wages, we're just deferring wages from what I read. So I'm just kind of concerned that might also be an interesting loan that we're we're actually taking out. So I just want to make sure that I understand that those components are accurate. Then I might have a couple of follow-up questions, Madam Chair.
And so either finance, we also have representatives from the Ledge Analyst Office who are available, if anyone would like to respond to the senator.
Mary Halterman, Department of Finance. So for the employee OPEB amounts, so it varies by bargaining unit. I don't remember the exact amounts. It ranges from about 2% to, I believe the highest is 4.6%. So yes, those would be suspended for the terms of the agreements that were agreed to. Some of them are for 1 year, some of them have agreed to 2 years. And the total amount for the contributions that would be foregone during the 2020-21 period, we estimate to be $699 million in total for all of the bargaining units, which is $333 million general fund. And I don't have the exact number in front of me, but the rate of return for the health plans and the annual valuation for the June 30th, 2018, which was the last one, it was, I believe, around 4.25%. It was in the 4% area. So it's lower assumed rate of return than CalPERS at the moment.
So I'm just kind of curious, who negotiates these contracts? Is it staff in the governor's office, or do you retain an independent, say, law firm to negotiate?
It's negotiated by the administration. CalHR is the designated representative for the governor's office.
So I guess what I'm trying to determine is by voting for this, I'm not really reducing anything. I'm just deferring costs. I will, somewhere along the way, the state will have to pay the OPEB costs, and somewhere along the way, we're going to have to pay, maybe when these employees retire, their back wages that were set aside. So I'm trying to figure out, are we saving anything, or are we just, is it just a timing financing move?
The funds are being saved immediately in the current year, and staff are receiving hours that they can take either now or in the future. And with the OPEB amounts being suspended for 1 or 2 years, and that would go towards the unfunded liability, and we currently have a 30-year plan to pay off the unfunded liability. So at this point, we don't know if that would delay the 30-year projection. We don't have an updated valuation at this point.
So I guess to conclude, Madam Chair, at the County of Orange, we stopped with having employees withhold for OPEB, and the county just paid for it itself. So this might be, in future years, if things continue to be a little tight, it might be an opportunity to give a raise without giving a raise. You can just go ahead and pull out the 4% or whatever, the 2.5 to 4.6%, and then have the state pay for it itself, so we stay on track and we're not dependent on some of these cycles, because this is a pretty significant liability. From my understanding, it's over $86 billion, and now it's going to grow close to $90 billion. That's a lot of money for those that follow us, especially our kids and grandkids. So I'd like to see maybe even a renegotiation of our OPEB plan. We did it at the county, just with some minor tweaks that were agreed to by the bargaining units, and we reduced our unfunded liability by 71%. So 71% times 90 is a good $60 billion we could take off the balance sheet. So perhaps the administration could look at that in future negotiations. Because this is certainly a very high annual cost that will be borne for 30 years. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you. Senator Dolley.
Thank you, Madam President. I also just want to follow up on maybe a little experience that we had when I was a county supervisor as well. So the deferring those out, so a lot of those employees will get step increases along the way, and they will also maybe if you're in law enforcement, you become a sergeant. And when you bank that up, and then when you go to retire, you're at a higher salary. And so really, you're not based at the time when they set it aside. You're actually based at the time when you retire. So it's a double hit to the budget in future years. So I think that's something that the administration should take into consideration as well, because you're really getting a double hit, because a lot of those employees are going to get They're going to get COLAs along the way, and they're also going to get maybe a step increase. And so when you retire, it's your highest year paid out. And if it's 10 years from now, that could be a heck of a lot more money. And you times that times the amount of employees that are this affects. It's just not good business to do that. And it's because it's not set at the rate today. It's set at their future retirement date. So that's another thing that the LAO's office and the budget folks should take into consideration when they put together a plan like this.
Thank you, sir. Any other questions from members? Seeing no hands raised from our remote members. Any additional members here in the chambers have questions? Senator Dolley.
Thank you. I do have a follow-up question. So those employees that have hours banked in their retirement, are they required to burn those hours now, or are they allowed to carry those hours on? Because that will impact as well at retirement if they carry those hours year to year forward.
Mary Halterman, Department of Finance. So in all of the agreements, it states that the personal leave hours are to be used prior to all other leave, except for sick leave at the choosing of the employee. So it is expected that all of these hours should be used first. However, if an employee separates and they are unable to use the hours prior to separation, then they would be cashed out.
Thank you.
Thank you. Any additional questions? All right, seeing none. We'll now move on to anyone wanting to provide public comment in regard again to AB 106. Let's begin with witnesses here in the gallery. Seeing none, are there any witnesses in hearing room 2040 who wish to provide public comment? Seeing none. We'll move on to witnesses waiting to provide public comment via the teleconference line. Moderator, if you'd please prompt the individuals waiting to provide public comment for AB 106, we'll begin.
Thank you. If you'd like to make a public comment, please press 1 followed by the 0. And nobody is queuing up at this time.
Thank you very much. Could you just check the line one more time before we move on?
Again, to make a public comment, please press 10. And nobody is queuing up at this time.
Thank you very much, Mr. Moderator. Appreciate your help. Do we have a motion on AB 106? So moved. Thank you, Senator Wykowski. The bill's been moved by Senator Wykowski. The motion is due pass. Mr. Steppenshaw, please call the roll.
You know, I don't take it south of 152.
Motion is due pass. Senator Mitchell?
Aye. Yeah.
Mitchell, aye. Nielsen?
No.
Nielsen, no. Bell?
Aye.
Bell, aye. Caballero?
Aye.
Caballero, aye. Dolley? Dolley, no. DeRozzo?
Aye.
DeRozzo, aye. Hurtado?
Aye.
Hurtado, aye. Leyva?
Aye.
Leyva, aye. McGuire?
Aye.
McGuire, aye. Melendez?
No.
Melendez, no. Monning?
Aye.
Monning, aye. Morlock?
No.
Morlock, no. Morrell?
Morrell, no.
Morrell, no. Pan? Pan, aye. Roth?
Aye.
Roth, aye. Skinner? Stern?
Stern, aye.
Stern, aye. Wykowski? Wykowski, aye. Ayes 11, noes 5.
Ayes 11, noes 5. The motion carries. Thank you to all the individuals who participated today. I'd like to thank everyone for your patience and cooperation. We've concluded the agenda. The Senate Committee on Budget and Fiscal Review is adjourned.